Welcome to our third segment of this afternoon's program. It is now 2:03 p.m. in the studio. It's the 6th of March, 2022. I'm your host, Kieran Murdoch. It is not often that we hear of new taxes being suggested in Antigua and Barbuda. So when the Democratic National Alliance, the DNA, suggested a mega wealth tax, we found the idea to be one worth a discussion. The idea was put forward by the DNA's second vice president, Mr. Anthony Stewart, The idea was that such a tax could replace the citizenship program if it placed wealthy economic citizens and wealthy people in Antigua and Barbuda above a certain threshold in its net. It has already garnered some feedback, for instance, from the former revenue reform manager, Mr. Everett Christian, who has since penned a piece where he discussed the problem of taxing CIP citizens on wealth that they may neither generate nor maintain in Antigua and Barbuda. It was a worthy point. But could a mega wealth tax be effective in any form, even if the idea needed to be tweaked? Around the world, particularly in developed countries, there is a debate surrounding the enormous wealth gap between the rich and the poor, and the monumental sums of money that many wealthy people accumulate, sometimes in very tax-lenient jurisdictions. Then we hear about the massive issue of tax avoidance, in which persons spirit their wealth away to more lenient jurisdictions. In Antigua and Barbuda, even the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, Gaston Brown, acknowledges that the government needs to collect more tax. So should it not be collecting from those who can better afford it? So on this segment, we ask, how viable is the idea of further taxing the wealthy to improve the lot of all? And could it work in Antigua and Barbuda? Joining our panel for this discussion, we have four guests with us on Zoom today. First of all, Mr. Anthony Stewart, second vice president of the Democratic National Alliance, one of its founding members. Mr. Stewart, of course, was formerly a government senator. He's a financial consultant, a certified public accountant, and a certified fraud examiner. He's also an adjunct lecturer at the UE Five Islands campus. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Anthony Stewart. How are you doing?
Blessed afternoon to you and the guests and the listeners of the Big Issues program all over the world.
We have as well Dr. Thompson Fontaine, a national of Dominica, an economist currently working in South Sudan. Of course, he formerly worked with the International Monetary Fund for 13 years, and his work and writing, of course, have focused on growth, currency crises, development, fiscal management, and debt. Good afternoon to you, Dr. Thompson Fontaine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Kieran. A very good afternoon to you and to my fellow panelists. It's great to be with you again this afternoon.
Mr. Peter Queeley joins us as well, a Montserrat-based economic and financial analyst and a social and political commentator. He has worked with the Ministry of Finance with the government of Antigua and Barbuda in the areas of budgeting and economic management. He has also lectured in the areas of micro and macroeconomics, the Caribbean business environment, banking and risk management, and did so for the University of the West Indies through the Antigua State College and the UE Open Campus. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Peter Queeley. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good afternoon to you, Kieran. Good afternoon to my fellow panelists and to the listeners of Observatory Big Issues.
And we have as well Dr. Delano D'Souza, Vincentian National, Assistant Lecturer in Economics at the University of the West Indies, Cahill, co-host of the podcast A Lawyer and a Policy Analyst Walk Into a Bar, a podcast which raises awareness about Caribbean economic, political, legal, and social issues in a way that any citizen can understand. Good afternoon to you, Dr. D'Souza. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to you and my fellow panelists and all those listening. Pleasure to be with you.
I wonder if we could, Mr. Stewart, I'm gonna go to the other three guests first to get their feedback on this suggestion before I come back to you to get your response to their feedback. Starting with Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Dr. Thompson Fontaine, on the face of it, the idea of a mega wealth tax, it is something that you hear discussed around the world. Do you think it's something that could work in a Caribbean island like Antigua and Barbuda?
Yes, Kieran, it is a great idea. But my concern is its practicability. How do you get to implement it successfully? Now, we must make a distinction between someone's income and their wealth. What I think we are talking about there is really a wealth tax. So that presupposes that you must know, that you will know, for example, the person's wealth, so that you can impose a tax on them. Because there are four basic elements of a tax system that I think that we must observe. To begin with, it should be easy to collect, which means, in terms of the collection of that tax, It should be measurable, or the person's income should be measurable. It should be also equitable, so that everybody feels that they're paying their fair share. And it also should be enforceable. Now, the question is, can all of these apply to a wealth tax? It is easily applicable to an income tax because everybody knows the incomes that are given within the country. But here you're talking about individuals who may not necessarily even be living in Antigua and Barbuda. So the obvious question then becomes, how do you know their wealth? How do you know how much they are worth? And how are you going to assign this tax to them? Now, let's assume you say, okay, well, I don't know the worth, but I'm going to put a minimum threshold, say 20 million. Then even then, how do you know this person is worth 20 million? You see, so wealth is a very elusive concept, and a lot of very wealthy people, they don't have their wealth in cash. They have their wealth in luxury yachts, in apartment buildings. They have their wealth in the stock market. So, you know, you have a lot of very practical concerns in terms of firstly being able to assess the level of tax that person should pay on, and secondly being able to assess and really get this tax from the individual. So I think it is fraught with a lot of problems. It's a great idea, but once you talk about a situation where you don't have that control as a government, it becomes very difficult to be able to put it into play.
Mr. Peter Quilley, do you agree? Do you disagree? What is your general view on the idea of a specific tax that targets high net worth individuals? And could something like that work in a Caribbean context, do you think?
I tend to take the same view as Dr. Thompson Fontaine, that it's a good idea, but I believe that its applicability in the small open economy, such as Antigua and Barbuda, tend to be, a bit... how applicable can it should it be, or can it actually work? And he did mention issues about how do you know what a person's wealth is, how do you measure it, and how do you value it, and those things are issues that needs to be dealt with. I mean, I'm not certain that Antigua and Barbuda have the necessary resources to do that. But beyond that, though. Wealth tax has been known to be associated with capital flight. And in the small open economies, we are looking for capital to come in as opposed to go out. And so I think a wealth tax would add negatively as far as economic investment is concerned. There is also the issue of the productivity of assets. And Dr. Talk Fontaine mentioned that your wealth could be the form of yachts and mega cars and luxury cars, I meant, and so forth. And you could have non-productive assets sitting down there, which value a lot, but they're not into any productive use, and you're being taxed on them. Now, how valuable is that? Isn't that working against what you want persons to do, which is to put the assets into production that would better serve the economy. And so you have these issues. There's also the issue of investment and wealth tax. Studies have shown that wealth tax has been associated with reducing investments. But beyond that, is the whole question of where do you go as a small open economy? And small open economy, as you know, one of the main issues is that we're looking to attract people to come and to live here and to bring some assets here and to create jobs and so forth. I mean, can you really do that with a wealth tax? And isn't a wealth tax a disincentive for persons to come? And if you were to apply to the CIP persons, which has been suggested, you have right now a CIP situation, which is a one-time fee that you pay to become a passport holder. The wealth tax creates a repetitive fee, whereby you pay this amount every year. I don't think that persons who are seeking CIP citizenship would want to get involved in that. And so I believe that the wealth tax would be a disincentive to persons who want to enter into the CIP program. So I will stop there for now and, you know, let my other colleagues
Dr. D'Souza, what do you think? And I will state, of course, in relation to what Mr. Quealy would have just said, that I think the DNA's position has been that it would seek to wind down the Citizenship by Investment program were it to take office in terms of its policy. And this is one of the proposals it is making in order to supplement what revenue will have been lost. But what do you think about the idea, Dr. D'Souza?
Well, I think I'm in line with what the previous speakers have said. I think in principle, I don't think many would disagree with a policy designed to make the tax system more progressive, which of course means that those who are earning more and who have more wealth are paying a bigger chunk into the government coffers. I don't think in principle anybody would disagree with that. I think the challenge comes in terms of practicability, in terms of the ability of the government to collect to ascertain the wealth and so so I think those things are challenges that I even developed countries, I should say, haven't even been able to surmount just yet. And so questions then become, you know, can a small island state like Antigua and Barbuda get over these hurdles in terms of trying to tax implementing a wealth tax? We would have spoken about the wealth tax in the context of the Citizenship by Investment program. And I think you've just indicated that the DNA would move to wind down the program. And so then that also brings some questions in terms of the pool as well, in terms of those persons who have currently passports. But if you're winding down the system, you're winding down that particular program, that then means you're essentially putting a cap in terms of the number of persons that in terms of your tax base for this wealth cap, in terms of your foreign nationals who have bought into the Citizenship by Investment program. So I think that might be something in terms of a challenge there. I think the issue surrounding a repeat tax, and I think that's a particularly interesting concept in terms of having a repeat fee paid each year by those holders of the Citizenship by Investment program. I think it's interesting and it's perhaps beneficial, but for the fact, and I think the previous speaker spoke to it directly, that with this increase in number of countries now who have Citizenship by Investment programs, it also strikes a blow to the competitiveness of the CIP program in Antigua, where, as you know, most programs are one-off investment. And so it then becomes a challenge even to attract persons into the Citizenship by Investment program. So I think, all in all, a wealth tax is a difficult proposal to make here in the context of Antigua. And I also think, too, given the way that a lot of wealthy individuals hold their wealth, it's even more difficult to handle. You think about stocks, you think about bonds and so on. And so from that perspective, I think perhaps we should be looking at something like perhaps a capital gains tax, for example, something that, to my knowledge, no CARICOM country has put forward just yet. But I think we can flesh out a little bit more as we go forward. So I'll start there.
Mr. Anthony Stewart, how would you respond to the concerns as put forward thus far? Wealth is elusive. It's not always the easiest thing to find. And even the larger developed countries have a problem sort of verifying the wealth of wealthy individuals who sometimes go through serious measures in order to conceal exactly how wealthy they are, what property they own, and what they're earning and bringing in. At the same time, there was the issue raised of perhaps taxing CIP citizens who don't have their wealth in Antigua and Barbuda and don't make their wealth off of enterprise in Antigua and Barbuda. There's the issue of competitiveness in terms of the CIP. Of course, I know that that's a particular policy matter for the DNA in terms of what it would do with the CIP. And of course, the issue of driving away capital. If you start to implement a particular taxation for high net worth individuals that you really want to attract to the country. But how would you respond to some of these concerns?
Yes, I find the comments are very interesting. And the DNA, when we launched on the 2017, we promised the people of Antigua and Barbuda a different style of politics. We promised them that we are going to be real, we are going to be true, we are going to be transparent, we are going to provide transformational leadership. And we're going to be honest. At the beginning of this program, you indicated that the Prime Minister said that we need more revenue. And our budget for the last 8 years, from 2014 to 2022, has seen upward deficit from 101 million in 2014 to 610 for 2020. So indeed, we need more tax revenue. The DNA is saying to the people of this country, we promise you that we are going to end the selling of passport. I was charged as the person responsible for finance, the economy, and good governance, and corporate governance in the party, to look and see how we can replace the revenue. I'm happy to tell our guests that although the wealth tax might be a difficult proposition, it is a tax that is in existence in a number of countries. So it's not a novel idea. It's a tax that has worked. And the research has shown that Norway has had a wealth tax for over 100 years. So the difficulties are not insurmountable. For example, how we are going to ascertain the wealth of an individual? I say right now, under our integrity laws, that politicians declare, when I was a senator, every year, I had to declare everything that I own. So right there is an area where information will be forthcoming. Since 9/11, we know that the financial landscape has changed dramatically. The US has indicated that, look, they want to know the income of their citizens anywhere in the world. So they have their FATCA, the automatic exchange of information. And Antigua is part of the OECD setup, where they have the common reporting standard, where jurisdictions can exchange information from financial institutions. So the information about the wealth of individual might not be so difficult to get. And also in your previous segment, you indicated, because they say this tax here, although it is geared towards removing the CIP, we can't discriminate with taxes. So some of the wealthy persons within Antigua and Barbuda will get caught in the net. And I have to say from the onset here that our tax-free base is part of the discussion that we have generated in this country. So you have told, or Mr. Weston has indicated to us, that one of his colleagues, right, is worth over $100 million. And if we are saying that the system of taxation in this country, the indirect system, is a regressive system, and it puts the highest burden on persons who earn the less, we as a government in waiting in opposition, a government in waiting, must be honest to the people and not do like what was done in 2004, because I was there, when we told the people of Antigua and Barbuda that enough tax measures were on the books. All we had to do was deal with compliance and force persons to pay. By 2005, a stream of taxes came in on the books, including the personal income tax. Then we have the Antigua and Barbuda Labour Party government. Every year, they have indicated to the people that we are going to have a tax-free budget. But we have seen that taxes were raised on the financial institutions, the banks, and insurance companies. We have seen where taxes have been raised on the Airbnb situation. We have seen where the non-nationals had to pay tremendous fees. Mm-hmm. So taxes are always being raised in our society. The question the DNA is saying is that we have to tell the persons up front first and put it out for discussion as we're having here, because I'm taking the notes from all of the experts here and see how at the end of the day, we may have to move from as is done now in Norway, where it's a tax, because that's the best system I see, a tax on net worth, and move to some of the areas where they tax maybe certain part of the person's wealth. But the discussion must continue, and we are saying that we are adamant that taxes will be increased, but who will be the burden? That's the question.
Let me bring in Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Dr. Fontaine, well, of course, Mr. Stewart just spoke about a personal income tax. It was a campaign promise of the Antigua Barbuda Labour Party in 2014 that they would remove personal income tax. They did, in fact, remove personal income tax. That has been an on and off talking point sometimes in political discussions. But I say that in the context of a Prime Minister and a Minister of Finance who routinely admits to the Parliament that the government does not collect enough tax, whether under existing taxes that it has or whether simply acknowledging that the overall tax regime is more lenient than many of our partners in the Eastern Caribbean. So the removal of PIT, do you think that creates the opportunity for something like a wealth tax, even if it is to be tweaked from what the Democratic National Alliance might have suggested in its initial discussions about this in the public?
You know, I see the idea of a wealth tax and an income tax as two distinct tracks. One should not be substituted for the other. If you're able to, and as Mr. Stewart indicated, he may be able to get the information and impose it. I still feel that's going to be extremely difficult because you're going to have a host of legal issues. For example, if somebody became a citizen of Antigua and it was in exchange for investment locally, and then all of a sudden now they have been told, you have to give me all of your assets you have all over the world, and I'm going to tax you on it. I still feel that's going to be very difficult. Now, on the question of the personal income tax, that is something that is different. As I said before, if you're looking at taxes that you can actually collect, income tax is one of those. I believe that on an earlier discussion we had on the same radio station, I recall we were saying that in Antigua, there is a particular problem of tax avoidance, in that I believe for every dollar collected, some 60, 70 cents is lost. I think what needs to be done is a tightening up of those systems where you have a predictable tax base. You can ensure that the tax system you develop is equitable, and having an income tax that is progressive does that. But coming back finally to the issue again of the wealth tax, I was thinking of examples of countries. There is one country I know, but I think one part of the proposal is also to extend this tax on diasporans, Antiguans living overseas. One of the countries I know that has done that successfully is Eritrea. But Eritrea did it in such a manner that it was enforceable. And that's what I say, if you're going to have a tax, it must be enforceable. So Eritreans living overseas are forced to pay this tax because their relatives in Eritrea could not travel. They could not obtain the passports. They had different restrictions placed on them if their relatives overseas did not pay those taxes. So there was a way the government was able to enforce it. My concern again comes back to the whole question of enforcement. So I think, as I said, it's a novel idea. Look at the difficulties the U.S. is having in imposing this tax. There will be a problem of enforcing the tax. And if you're going to have a tax that works, a tax that is seen to be fair, a tax where people are willing to pay their fair share, it has to be enforceable. And a wealth tax in this context, to me, it is not.
If I could bring back in Mr. Peter Quealy. Mr. Peter Quealy, to the issue of, as we deal with specifically the it was on the tip of my tongue there, I forgot it. The CIP, that's what I want to talk about, the CIP. I think there's been a bit of a distinction we've been able to draw so far in terms of how viable it would be in order to try and tax economic citizens, especially being that wasn't part of the package when they would have got their citizenship. I want to ask you the question, do you think that is perhaps something that should have been a component of the CIP program from the onset, even throughout the rest of the islands, the idea that we would try to have some mechanism whereby our economic citizens did continue to contribute something to the economy of Antigua and Barbuda on an annual basis, thereby sort of expanding the amount of government revenue that's coming in, so that even for instance, if you have a something that were to collapse the program, you still have gained this body of economic citizens that are contributing regularly to your economy. It doesn't necessarily have to be a large chunk of their wealth annually, but or their income annually, but something. But what do you think about that? The ideas of economic citizens being routine and regular contributors, at least up to a certain point?
Kieran, I believe that, as Mr. Fronte would have said, it all has to do with what initially was proposed to those persons who are applying for the CIP. As far as I know, there's either one or three options that you have when applying for the CIP or such other programs. It's either you pay a sum of money, it's either you invest in a certain business and hire a certain quantum of local persons to create jobs, or you build or invest in a property in the country, and that create jobs. But that, so you know, that was the upfront thing that was told to those persons who are applying for the CIP, and in return you get a passport whereby you can use it to travel in the Schengen countries or so forth, or to have a second home in a place which is peaceful in terms of political peace, political and tranquility, the sun and so forth. And so if we're marketing that towards someone to go and change that in the middle of the person's contract, to me would raise some legal issues. And then it also raises the issue, as Mr. Fontaine would have said, about the competitiveness of the program, or whether or not you are now asking persons who actually got the passport, because that you're not being going to tax them to actually give up these passports, because if there's a way that you can acquire them, there must be a way also that you can actually get surrender them. And if I contract a passport of a third country, and I'm now being asked to pay a repetitive tax, I may wish to surrender that passport to avoid that tax, because that wasn't part of my initial arrangement. And so, it has to be looked at in that context. I mean, as I said before, I believe that the wealth tax is well intentioned, it's a progressive tax, but at the same time, its applicability in small open countries, especially as it relates to CIP persons, whereby their wealth are not exclusively held in one place, and it could be diverse, creates a problem. And I agree with Mr. Fontaine, to close it here, that there's a difference, a marked difference between the income tax, which is the PAT tax, and a wealth tax. And certainly, I'm one of those persons, persons who believe that in small home countries such as Antigua, Barbuda, St. Kitts, and even where I am here in Montserrat, that the personal income tax is a destructive tax. And so, I would go along those lines. So I will close it there and let the other panelists go in.
Dr. D'Souza, Dr. Delano D'Souza, would you agree with that? Well, I don't want to take the conversation on the issue of personal income tax, but that personal income tax is destructive. Would you agree with that? And also, more to the issue of one of the thrusts of the suggestion, as I understood it from the DNA, is that, of course, the government says it needs more tax revenue. There's a prevailing view that you may have wealthy people in society that are not or undertaxed, especially if you have the removal of PIT. Do you think that in general in the Caribbean, or even in jurisdictions in Barbados or in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, that persons of high net worth are undertaxed, and that there's a reasonable space for more to be asked of such individuals? Or do you think that is too destructive economically in some sense?
I don't think that it's too destructive economically. Like I said in my first contribution, I believe the system should be as progressive as possible. I think the concern that many have raised is that when you start taxing or overtaxing those at the higher income bracket, then you might detract from investment and so on. I think for me, though, in terms of the personal income tax in particular, I think it's based on how it's designed and how it's structured. So, for example, if you guys recall, St. Lucia has announced that they're going to raise the threshold for the point at which you begin paying personal income tax, for example. So that could be a route where only those persons at the very top of the income bracket are made to pay, or you increase it. I think in the case of St. Lucia, they're saying that anybody below $4,000 will not be paying personal income tax. That was a promise that is to be implemented soon, I understand. And so if you go that route where you say, well, listen, you know, if you're making a certain amount, then you don't pay. And if you're making more than that amount, then you're subject to personal income tax. So I think that might be something that ought to be considered, where, like, we've already spoken to the fact that personal income tax is relatively easy to monitor and to collect. And we also spoke about the fact that not enough tax is being collected. We spoke about the fact that we want to target wealthy individuals, not necessarily on their wealth only. And I think the point raised about distinguishing personal income tax from wealth is critical, because if it is that you want to tax them on both, then, of course, in the case of Antigua now, we recognize the difficulties with perhaps wealth. But in the interim, or even perhaps in the long term, if you want to say, then let's reintroduce the personal income tax, but let's have a cutoff point to ensure that it's really progressive and that only those persons with high incomes are earning. In addition to that, I mentioned before the possibility of a capital gains tax, for example. We know that a lot of high net worth individuals don't get salaries necessarily. A lot of their wealth comes from changes in the price of the assets that they own and so on and so forth. And so I think in that context, in terms of if you want to speak to the changes in wealth and taxing their wealth, that perhaps we need to consider in the Caribbean a capital gains tax with respect to changes in the value of assets and so on, that could then perhaps target wealth, but make it a little bit more enforceable, if that's one of the challenges that we have. And I think we've agreed that that's a big challenge that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. And again, I say that also kind of almost tongue-in-cheek, because I know that in the Caribbean, we've sort of been trying to encourage investment into assets, whether it be in the securities market and so on. And so for that reason, we haven't really spoken about capital gains, because we've always been trying to cultivate an investment climate in the Caribbean. But I dare say that there are a lot of high worth, wealthy individuals who are making a lot of money in terms of capital gains, and perhaps we need to look at that as a form of a wealth tax.
Mr. Stewart, I'll give you the opportunity to respond specifically. What do you think of the idea of a high threshold PIT, even if you were to call it something else, or a capital gains tax? Because I'm realizing one of the issues that the panelists seem to agree on is that it would be difficult to get economic citizens outside of Antigua to pay tax on assets that they perhaps don't have in Antigua, and wealth that they don't keep in Antigua, to actually verify a lot of that information. So that the idea of taxing economic citizens who have been made citizens through CIP seems to be quite troublesome. What do you think of the idea of further taxing wealthy people in Antigua and Barbuda through a very high threshold PIT or some form of capital gains tax?
Well, let me just say and respond specifically to Mr. Quealy, in that the DNA is about to disband the program, the selling of passports. Further, the selling of passports seems to be dying a natural death with a race to the bottom. And it appears to me, because there's some initial laying out of conditions that you can get the citizenship. Now they become citizen. You're saying to me that they're in a special class or special category. These persons have all the rights as we do as CARICOM. They're now part of CARICOM. All the benefits and rights they will have. Now, as right now, I know that there are many persons from that part of the world, the oligarchs. They reside, they're resting up nicely now, enjoying all of our breeze and our sea and our sun right now in Antigua, because they're citizens of Antigua and Barbuda. But I want to say it specifically to your question. Remember that our proposal will be looking at persons with wealth, CIP person with wealth, people in Antigua and Barbuda, because the wealth itself in Antigua alone is heavily skewed towards a few persons, you know, maybe 5,000, 10,000 persons control all of the wealth. We say that they have mega wealth. So these persons too will come under the whole gamut of the wealth tax. But your question about a specific tax towards income for high wealth persons. Well, I would say, as we continue our discussion, as we continue our consultation, because this is consultation, and when we have our public consultation, look, the persons of Antigua and Barbuda will drive the DNA, because we believe that the persons should have their voice in this matter, mm-hmm. and decide what they want. And this is where we are saying that the new type of politics must be, not where the prime minister is saying that he needs more taxes. So he's just putting that out there. You're hearing that. So when he comes, if he wins the next election, whap, you get taxes. And he will say that, you know, remember I've been saying that we need to increase the tax base, but never come to the people with a wholesome discussion like we are having here. No, and we're saying, no matter how difficult this is, we are going to continue to see how we can tweak it and let it work in this country. Mm. If a country has had wealth tax for 100 years, I am saying that some part of it mm-hmm. can work in Antigua and Barbuda.
Let me take the opportunity, because we are out of time. We have gone over time a bit. Just to give Dr. Thompson Fontaine, and we really don't have a lot of time, Dr. Fontaine, just to allow you to give us some final thoughts before we wrap up this segment.
Yes, so I think the discussion is a good one to have, but I believe the focus, if we're looking seriously at really increasing the level of income to government, I think the focus must be on the tax regime itself, you know, income tax regime. Look at it, the indirect taxes, for example. I know in countries like ours in the Caribbean, there are a lot of loopholes, for example, in tax exemptions given on imports coming into the country. All of those loopholes can be tightened up. Probably the idea of a property tax can be introduced, especially if some of these wealthy individuals are property
owners. We have a property tax. I suppose the issue would be compliance.
You have a property tax, right? Yeah. So probably looking at the rate of that tax and so on. So there are different ways you can do within the existing fiscal framework. But the question of a wealth tax, as we said, the issues that we raised earlier would make it difficult, but it's certainly something to keep discussing.
All right, we can end this here. I want to say thank you to all four of our guests. Mr. Anthony Stewart, Second Vice President of the Democratic National Alliance, also a financial consultant. Dr. Delano D'Souza, Assistant Lecturer in Economics at the UE Cave Hill. To Mr. Peter Quealy, a Montserrat-based economic and financial analyst and a social and political commentator. And to Dr. Thompson Fontaine, an economist currently in South Sudan, a former IMF economist and also former senator in Dominica. Thanks to all four of you for joining us this afternoon.